Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Michael Jantz, and I'm the Partnership Engagement Manager with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. I'm pleased to introduce you to our webinar today, Mentoring for Credit, an introduction to the Career and Technology Studies Mentoring Courses. So this webinar will be available today for you to enjoy and ask questions and engage with, but also we'll be posting an audio record of it afterwards as part of our Alberta Mentoring Partnership podcast. We'll also post the video on our YouTube. So did you know that high school students can receive credits for mentoring? Did you know that mentoring has been proven to increase students' academic achievement and reduce behavior problems in school? This webinar will provide an outline of the 5 one-credit Career and Technology Studies mentoring courses. Find out how these courses can contribute to your student success in school and beyond by listening here today. We're excited to let you know about a couple other opportunities that will be hosted by the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. Next is, many of you might remember the National Mentoring Symposium that took place in 2016. We're not doing a full National Mentoring Symposium this year, but instead we're doing an in-person learning day themed around research, evaluation, and knowledge mobilization. So if you run a community-based mentoring program, if you're a program practitioner, a board member, an executive director who's interested in evaluation, we encourage you to go to Alberta Mentoring .ca/learning and learn more about AMP Learning Day. It's May 25th here in Edmonton. We also are going to have another webinar on implementing the CTS mentoring courses. This will be on April 10th from 12 to 1 again, another lunch and learn format. And you can learn more and sign up there at albertamentors.ca/blog. We're also going to have a webinar about peer mentoring for Indigenous youth with Dr. Kate Story and Dr. Noreen Willows on May 1st. All of these opportunities will be in the show notes that you get in your email after the presentation today. The Alberta Mentoring Partnership is a partnership of government ministries, government-funded organizations, schools, community agencies, and youth working together to provide more mentoring opportunities for Alberta's children and youth. And at the cornerstone of this is our relationship with our schools and much of the fantastic work that all of you do in ensuring that our young people can be successful. Corey, I understand that we have a poll ready just to, as we're waiting for everyone to get settled here, we'll just pop those two questions up currently. So these webinars are interactive and we'll ask you a question. The poll now should be popping up on your screen. Have you heard about the Alberta Mentoring Partnership? So you can type yes or no, and looks like we're at about 50-50, or even a little more. Some of you haven't heard of us before. Well, we look forward to telling you more at the end how you can become a partner and continue to engage in these learning opportunities. The next question we have for you, oh, here we go, here's the, so about 64% of you didn't know about us before. Well, we're excited to tell you more as we proceed. The next question we have for you is, do you currently run a mentoring program in your school? So let's see the results there. Wow. Okay. About 30% of you, yes. 56% no, and 11% maybe. Yeah. Well, you're going to hear more today about how you can use the CTS credits, and you're going to hear more about other resources we have if you currently don't run a mentoring program, how to get one started, and all of the support available to you. So at any time, if you have a question, you're able to indicate through the GoToWebinar process your question. Corey, why don't you tell us more about that? How to use the chat box?
Yeah. So if anyone has any questions, there are two ways to ask them. You can ask in the chat box in your the floaty box on the right hand side of your screen, or you can send questions through the questions box as well. Either way, we should get to them near the end of the webinar.
So just as a test, if you want to click on the chat box and type in where you are watching the webinar from, just let us know what community. Where I think we saw a few people register from Southern Alberta, and it's always great that we can engage everyone no matter where you are in the province. So yeah, Calgary, Peachtree Creek, Fairview. Oh, wow. Nisku, LaCrete. Oh, wow. We've got great coverage. Yeah, all over the place. This is wonderful. Well, thank you all very much for tuning in. And if you're from out of province, we welcome you as well, too. So without further ado now, we're going to go over to Latoya Bartlett, who's a principal. Oh, sorry. Actually, we're not. We're going over to Caroline Gosling, who is the Alberta Education Leader with the Alberta Mentoring Partnership and who helps make all of these wonderful Alberta Ed initiatives happen.
Good afternoon, and thanks again, everybody, for giving up your lunch hour to listen to information about our Career and Technology Studies course. I just wanted to give a really brief background. So a number of years ago, I think probably around 2009, Alberta Education provided a grant to a school jurisdiction in the province to create these CTS courses. And so they were ready to pilot in September of 2010 and have been offered throughout the province since then. There's been some sort of ebbs and flows in the numbers of schools offering the courses. And we decided that maybe it was time to kind of promote promote them again, let people know lots of changes in schools happen. And so that's really the purpose of today's webinar, is to introduce you to the CTS courses. And again, as Michael said at the end, we'll talk about some other resources that are available if the CTS credit courses aren't an option for you, or perhaps you're not in a high school. So that's all really I wanted to say. And I just wanted to turn it over to Latoya Bartlett. Latoya is a principal in Fort Vermilion School Division, and she is very familiar with the CTS courses, and I'm sure she will fill you in on how she became so familiar, and she has a lot of experience offering these courses. So take it away, Latoya.
Hi, everybody. I'll just get this in. Can everybody hear me? Am I good?
We can hear you over here, yep.
Okay, so we, in the Fort Vermilion School Division, I was at a high school a few years ago, and we developed and taught mentoring for a number of years with our high school students. We focused on our grade 11 student, and at first, we opened it up to all elementary ages, and then after a few years of reflection, we kind of turned it into a transition plan for our elementary students who would be entering our building. So we focused in on grade 5 and 6 and our grade 11 students. So there was different roles. We had the teacher facilitator, we had the mentor, and we had the mentee. It started with a full week with the teacher, so a full week with your mentor facilitator, and the first 3 weeks were mostly training and preparation in the classroom, and this focused on the credit of HSS 1050, or the intro to mentorship. And when they were done, they received a mentorship certificate. So this is where the partnership with Alberta Mentors comes very important, in the fact that the students did a Moodle course online through the Alberta Mentors, and they received their certificate, and then they did additional training with the teacher in the classroom. And it gave time for the teachers at the elementary school to do the setting up of the mentor to the mentee. On Mondays and Fridays, they remained in the classroom with the facilitator, so myself. We did review of the next theme for the week on Mondays, and then on Fridays, we did our reflection and prepped for the following week. And then Tuesday to Thursday, it was active mentoring at the elementary school. So that's where they would carry out their plans, and they did meet then with their mentee. For the mentee, because as a teacher, I didn't know the kids from the elementary school who would be coming the mentees, we did leave it up to the principal and student support services to kind of give us a list of students that they thought would benefit most from having a mentor from the high school. We had a lot of high-risk students, and need ranged from social behavior to mental health, any type of issue where they could use an extra person in their life. Once chosen, then the teacher or the facilitator, so myself, then would do the information and permission slips to the parents to partake in the program. On Tuesdays and Thursdays are when the mentor was taken from the class, and then that's when they would actively participate in the mentorship. I also did do some focus groups with the mentees, just to kind of keep it on par with the outcomes and to make sure that everything was being met. So for the teacher or the mentor facilitator, we did do a partnership with Alberta Mentors where I was in contact with them. It's where we got our resources. So the high school teen mentoring handbook and the high school teen mentoring activity book was something I used quite often in the classroom for ideas and for activities to do with the mentees. And then there was the teen mentoring toolkit, which we also used. So we were in direct contact. Resource-wise, the website was something that the high school kids use quite often, especially as part of that three-week training process. Then I took the curriculum, so the 5 credits that could have been offered. So I did take that curriculum, and we developed it so that we turned it into weekly themes. The outcomes are not done in isolation of each other, but rather all at the same time. So all 5 credits are done at the same time. The first one, the intro to mentoring, is usually finished within the month, but the rest of them are done in continuously with each other. So the 5 credits were the intro to mentorship, becoming a mentor, becoming a mentee, extending the mentor relationship, and peer mentoring. We also did the second or third year that we offered the course. We also put in leadership fundamentals, which was another credit that could be offered. Our student union would receive the leadership fundamentals. But as we progressed through the mentorship program, there's so much leadership that happens with the mentors that it was another chance that they could work on that one also. So I'll just go through some of the credits that we did offer and how we went about offering it. So the introduction to mentorship, that was our first one. And that was initially the 3 weeks of training takes up the bulk of this. So we defined mentoring. We defined it as a group together. And then we used the Alberta mentorship definition of mentoring. And then we did a profile of the mentor and mentee. So we looked at mentors, what would make the ideal mentor? And then for a mentee, who do you think you would be paired with? When we did receive profiles of the mentees, it was something that we worked together with also to pair them. So so that they were paired well with interests and values. The impact and importance of mentoring, this gave an opportunity for the high school students to do some research even before they got started. And it was something that we went back to at the end. So they researched initially the importance of mentoring. What is it? What does it look like in a high school? And then at the end, when we were finished in May, they did a reflection on, does that actually correlate with what you see during your mentorship? So that was quite an interesting assignment. We went through the legalities, and that's something too that Alberta Mentorship offers resources on. So the duty to report child and family welfare, what that is, what they do, and then outside agencies that can help. We did conflict resolution. When you're dealing with your mentee, you know, how do you go about if they disagree with you or if there's a conflict amongst yourself? So there was quite a bit of role playing, scenario playing that went into this credit. And then their role, and this was very important and something that we did during that Moodle training, was the role of the mentor versus the role of a mentee. And it's very important that they understand that before they initially start their mentoring process. It was also an opportunity to go through age-appropriate development. So at first, when we were doing all grade levels, you know, a grade 2 student was very different than a grade 6 student, and we would have to go through the age-appropriate development process with them. And then record keeping and reflection, so the importance of that. And that kind of all combined it into this, this one credit. But again, it wasn't done in isolation. The bulk was done during that 3 week, but it really took continuing that that credit throughout the entire 10-week process. Becoming a mentor was the second one that could be offered. So we looked at risk factors or students at risk, and what is the role of a mentor and why are they important? The importance of relationships, and we looked at healthy relationships, not letting your mentee become dependent on you. How do you get these boundaries? Wellness, so some mental health we looked at in regards to how do you keep yourself well and your mentee well. And a lot of personal inventory and reflection, which again, we revisited. So not only do these credits offer an opportunity for the student to get into mentorship and to get to know their mentee, but they get to know themselves very well too, because you really need to know yourself before you can help your mentee. So there was a lot of personal inventory. There was reflection. Goal setting is in all 5 credits. So they would set goals for themselves and also for their mentee. And lifelong learning. We reflected on this at the end, and that would be, what kind of career could you go into having partaken in mentorship? And some, you know, they would relate it to education, or they would relate it to working with students, and others said, you know, it's not something that I would want to do and working with people in my career. So it was a really great reflection piece that we did at the end. A large percentage of the credit though is in the actual mentoring between the mentor and mentee that happens throughout the week. Becoming a mentee, this is where they got to really get themselves involved in mentee. So how would you pick a mentee? What makes a great mentee? What is a strength areas to work on of your mentee? And what resources do you need? And what goals are you going to set? So this one started, we would do the initial, what is a mentee? What are the roles of a mentee? But after a month of mentoring, we really sat down and they did the profile of, what are the strengths of your mentee? Where can you work? What do you need? What do you need from me as a facilitator? And they really enjoyed that because it got in the process of, how do I help my mentee and make them better and help them with struggle. They also then had to go in and develop resources. So they were on the Alberta mentorship website, because this is where the resources that they would utilize. And then age appropriate development again came into this credit, because you really need to know where your mentee is development. Extending the mentor relationship. This was a credit that really had a lot to do with resiliency. And for a lot of our mentors, it was the first time they had heard the word resilient. What does that mean? And how do we build resiliency? And, you know, a consensus at the end of every year was it takes a lot longer to build resiliency than the amount of time that they had mentoring. So how do we continue it? And how do we equip our mentees to build resiliency and giving them the resources that they would need? So we looked at community resources. We looked at provincial resources. Again, we looked at the website for Alberta Mentorship, and we looked at a transition plan for ending the relationship. The mentors and mentees become, the relationship becomes very strong, and you would think that the mentees are the ones that get the most out of it, but it goes both ways. We had mentors that found it very hard at the first year that we had tried this to just give up the relationship at the end of the semester. So we did a transition plan and put it in place. A lot of times we were able to put them in a second semester and get them different types of leadership, or we put them in a different type of program. But it was developing the transition plan was this credit so that your mentee could still build that resiliency and work on what you had started with them. Then there was the peer mentoring, or the 30-70. And this was the actual mentoring that takes place. So all the, if you look at the outcomes are all met within a setting of actual mentoring with the mentee and the mentor. So those were where the weekly themes came in, and those were where we carried out what we had discussed and planned in class on the Friday. So some of the weekly themes that we would review on the Monday, and then they would carry out. I listed them here. So trust, team building, you know, the anti-bullying, personal decision making. And what would happen is we would meet as a group and we would go over some of the learning outcomes that you can't necessarily do with your mentee. And then we would develop resources and projects that they would do with their mentee during the Tuesday, Thursday period of time. And then Friday, we would reflect. Every year, we started as a group and we did things together. But then as they get to know their mentee, mentors would say, you know, my mentee is not ready for that, or my mentee really needs to focus on this issue at the time, which is great because we would be all at different places, but we would meet together and we would build together on Monday, and then we would reflect on Friday. So I did provide some of the examples of weekly mentoring themes that do go along well with the outcomes offered in those credits. This was the chart that I had used. So it's all the credits there. I did have the leadership fundamental one in there. I did put the leadership fundamental one there if you guys decided to use. In regards to the HSS ones, I put them in, and then I put the different projects that we use for the credit itself. And I did kind of the weighting there also. And that's something that you can use to develop. So some of the benefits of mentoring, we found that when we were picking our mentors, we always pick mentors that attend it regularly. And the reason why we did that was because it was extremely important that there was consistency in the program for the mentee, and that, you know, we didn't have somebody who wasn't going to show up regularly. And that's how we first initially started it. And then we had other students who were interested, and it became something that the high school students wanted to partake in. They wanted to help out a mentee and they wanted to have a mentee. And we've seen amazing results with our high school kids. And that was some of the most important ones that we'd seen were, you know, this increase in social skill. They had always been, you know, we could put them in a program and they could speak to a younger student, but it became all of a sudden that they were presenting in assemblies, or they wanted to go above and beyond with their mentees. So increased social skills was huge. Increased empathy. They kind of understood what was going on with that mentee. So for a lot of them, when we would do our reflection, it was like, miss, like, they don't sit still. It was a great learning opportunity for these students, and they became more empathetic to their mentee. There was also a stronger understanding and appreciation for diversity. Sometimes, you know, high school students are very stuck in their high school, and they got this idea of the different diversities because we did have some different cultures that combined as mentee-mentor, and the mentee taught the mentor about their culture in one of our weekly themes, and it was fascinating to our mentors. There was increased motivation. Our high school kids did not miss. Even when we had a day of, you know, I have exams in the morning, I can leave in the afternoon, our mentors were not missing mentoring. They just loved it, and they were coming daily, and they were coming with activities, and there was this increase in motivation on how do I do things with my mentor? What can I do for my mentor? My mentor really wants to do this. How can I get all? Self-esteem was big. We did put some mentors in there that, you know, I was fully flagging the students. I was like, oh, they're really shy. I'm not sure how that will go. And that mentee really got them out of their comfort zone, and it was fantastic in the enhanced team. And stronger relationship skills. They became aware of what is a healthy relationship, what is a good relationship, and the importance of having that, and the importance of having that friendship. I did put here on the side some of the things that were said in the end of the semester reflection. So my favorite is I learned more from my mentee than they did from me. And it woke me up on issues faced younger students. So sometimes they would get into, there were some mentees who had some deeper issues that we had to get into, and our mentees learned from that. Someone became more important than me is also one of my favorite. The mentee became a very important person in our mentor's life. For the mentee, it often offered, I always did a reflection with the principal and the teachers involved, in addition to the mentee at the end of our program, just to kind of see, did you guys see a benefit? Are you guys interested in doing it again next year? And for the mentee, it provides them another person in their lives. And we all know you want the five strong connections, five adult connections. And for some of our mentees that we did have, they didn't have close to that. So having a mentor was one other person that they could rely on that wasn't a teacher, wasn't their principal, and it wasn't their family. It was just another person for them. And our reflection showed that that became something very important to them. It also taught mentees strategies for social interaction and appropriate social interaction because their mentor was a model to them. And it gave them a reason to attend regularly, as it did our mentors. It did the same for our mentees. We had some mentees that did not miss. The only thing is, it was they didn't miss from Tuesday to Thursday, and sometimes they would miss more on Monday to Friday. But their mentor would work with them on that, and their attendance became regular. They were in school more. I didn't write it in here, and I meant to, is there were some more parental involved also. The mentor and the mentee would work together and often bring, you know, this is to show at home, or you could take this to your mom or your dad. And there was some increased parental involvement there, knowing that this program was happening. It placed an importance on academic achievement and success in school too for the mentee. The mentee really wanted to be like the mentor in regards to, I want to go to high school. I want to be in grade 11, or that's so cool that you get to do that at the high school. We did a day of shadowing where the mentee actually came to the high school and did a day as the mentor, and we did a scavenger hunt, and they did a day together. And that was something that, well, hey, I really want to get up here and go to school like you do. So there was that increased importance on academic success. And there's also enhanced self-esteem on the mentee's part. I do remember we had one mentee who was extremely, extremely shy, and that's why he was put in the program. Not many friends, not very social. And as a group, the mentees and the mentors put themselves into a talent show, and they played pretend instruments and they lip sync. And this kid got up and did it, the mentee. You know, we had teachers in tears that he would do that. He had increased his self-esteem, and he thought, if my mentor could do it, I could do it. And it was just fantastic. And he's currently one of our grade 11 students, and he's very social. So it did help build the social skills and the self-esteem. So I provided some resources that I have used in the past that may help. And that's the course outline that would offer kind of a breakdown of some of those credits. The parent letter home, informing the parents that the student has been given the opportunity to participate in the mentorship and kind of what it is and what they should expect. And I did offer also the mentoring rubric. So for the peer mentoring credit, a rubric I found was the easiest way to kind of look at the attendance piece and what's happening there. So I did make a rubric. I gave it to the students at the very first training session, so they knew where that credit was coming from. And then the becoming a mentee formative quiz. As part of the training, we did have them do a quiz at the end just to see if they were ready. It's very important that your mentor is ready before starting that relationship, because there are some fine details there that they need to know, like the duty to report, or the importance of that relationship and who to talk to before starting. So we did give them a formative quiz. And then this is just a video that 1 year my mentee and mentors did together to kind of highlight the program and the partnership with Alberta Mentors. So you guys can feel free to watch that whenever available. And that is all for me.
Thank you, Latoya. That was wonderful. And we had a couple questions come through with regards to sharing the presentation. And it was so nice to have all of these resources that Latoya has shared. And so that would be good that we can share the presentation. So what we'll do is, in the follow-up email, we'll have a link to these slides as well as a recording of the webinar for if anyone wants to share with anyone else or rewatch the webinar. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to open up a question period. So if you have any more questions, just send them through the chat box or the question box, and then we'll get to them shortly. But what we're going to do now, again, Caroline's going to talk about some of the AIM mentoring.
Cool. So Latoya mentioned many of the resources, and they're all located on the Alberta Mentoring, or most of them are located on the Alberta Mentoring Partnership website, which is just albertamentors.ca. So, and there's a tab that says for schools and agencies, and all the resources are listed under there. I just wanted to mention a couple of things. The high school teen mentoring resources have either been revised or are in revision. So the High School Teen Mentoring Handbook that LaToya mentioned has just recently been revised and updated and is available on the website. The High School Teen Mentoring Activity Book is in the process of being revised, and it will definitely be ready by the end of June in time for next year. One of the things that we heard about the activity book was that the activities were all aimed at elementary students, and some high schools are mentoring junior high students. So that will be part of the revision, is to add some activities for junior high students. LaToya also mentioned the online mentor training, which is being revised as well. So it should be ready to go for the beginning of the next school year. And we also have mentee training. So for the mentees that are going to be part of this, there's some online training for them as well now. And then lastly on this page is just that there's a little link for becoming a member of or a partner with AMP. So if you and or your school wants to become a partner, it means that you'll get updates, regular newsletters, information about new resources being ready, that kind of thing. And we're also in the process of looking at setting up mentoring networks across the province. And so by becoming a partner, we can send you information about that. You know, we're looking for people like LaToya that have experience offering these, that would be willing to support others in their area to get some mentoring up and going in their schools, whether it be CTS courses or others. The Teen Mentoring Toolkit, I just wanted to draw your attention to, for junior high school or high schools who are offering the CTS credits may not be an option. That Teen Mentoring Toolkit has lots of great ideas. It's basically a DIY kit for starting mentoring in your junior high or high school. It's got forms and letters, all of those things there. And then lastly, there are some resources, additional resources on the Alberta Education website. There's a little video with a conversation guide that's like an introduction to mentoring. So if you, something that would be great to show at a staff meeting or to others to kind of pique their interest in mentoring. And also the ATA has developed a workshop around building mentoring relationships in schools, which can be offered as a full day or a half day. And it is delivered by their administrative instructors. And I believe that regardless of where you are in the province, that workshop is, it comes at a cost of $150. So again, that's another option if you are interested and have a group of people that would be wanting to do that. So I think that's all I wanted to say for resources. And now I think we'll open it up for some questions.
Right. So we had a few questions come through. So Jeff asked, he's at an outreach school and is looking to implement this type of program for their students. Do any of you run this type of program through an outreach school?
Jeff, it's Caroline. And I think that there are some outreach schools who are offering the CTS courses. I can kind of see in the province who's offering what. So I do believe there are some outreach schools. So if you are interested, my contact information is on the slide. If you want to email me, I will look and see which outreach schools are offering the courses, and I can connect you with them.
Great. The next question is from Shannon. She asked, how much time do you spend training the mentorship students? One might be for LaToya.
How much time do you spend training them?
Yeah.
Within the classroom, about 3 weeks was training. They got through most of the material in about a week and a half, and then we did some scenario-based stuff. It depends on how fast your partner, your agency is going to put you with your mentees. So where the mentee was doing some training, you could get it done in a week depending on the size of your classroom and how many mentors that you do have. There's quite a bit of material, so I would say a week and a half for sure.
Great, thank you. And then we have another one from Cindy. Cindy asks, can mentoring take place within the high school setting? For example, mentoring with new Canadians, grade 12 students mentoring grade 10.
I can speak a little bit to this, and then LaToya, if you want to add in too. Mm-hmm. It's not that it's certainly not that it can't happen. What the research tells us is that the best results are gained when there's a 2-year age difference between the mentor and the mentee. So again, grade 12s mentoring grade 10s certainly would probably be an option. And the idea of peer mentoring and mentoring same age peers around something specific is also an option. I think the outcomes might look a little bit different.
Yeah, I would have to agree there. It's not that it's not possible and you'll meet some of the outcomes, but a lot of the outcomes we'll talk about, again, that 2-year or a little younger in the learning process gap. But there's other things. I know the first credit might relate a little bit better to that, the intro to the mentoring. and extending the mentoring relationship, but the other ones have a lot of younger mentee or at least a two-year gap outcomes involved.
Great, thank you. Now we have another one from Evan, who asks, Evan teaches at in an online high school. The examples are great, but mostly deal with in-school mentors and mentees. Could this be feasible for an online endeavor for high school students? Would the students need to find their own mentor? It's a great question.
This is Michael here. Cyber mentoring and online mentoring is an emerging field right now in mentoring, and there's different research talking about how to get it started and how to really establish it in a way that produces the outcomes that we're looking for. That's something we could certainly look for from our other partners and explore further about how you do online mentoring. But in particular, with regard to the ETS courses, Caroline.
That's a really good question. I'm thinking the way that they're organized right now, as far as the whole idea about kind of knowing what's happening during the actual mentoring piece, it might be difficult to meet some of those objectives if it was online, but that doesn't mean it's not something that we could look at.
And then now Krishani asks how they can get a copy of the course outline and rubrics and PowerPoints that were used in the webinar. Again, we will be sending this out in a follow-up email following the webinar as a presentation and a recording. And then Evan just reiterates, he's just wondering if this would be worthwhile, a worthwhile project for an online school. And I suppose the answer is.
Yeah, again, I'm not sure that, and Latoya, you can jump in here too. I'm not sure that it would be easy to assess whether the objective for the courses had been met if it was all online.
The mentorship,
go ahead, Latoya.
Oh, sorry, the mentorship would be online between the mentor and the mentee?
I think so.
Oh, okay. No, I wouldn't know enough about that. I know that there's a lot of hands-on activities that it needs to happen in order to meet the outcome. A lot of face-to-face mentoring, so I'm really not sure.
I guess, Evan, we would ask you, if you go down this journey, please keep in touch with us and let us know how it works and how you evolve this. And if there's others on the call who are experimenting with online mentoring in your school or your community, especially for those of you in rural and remote areas, we would love to hear more. This is an area where we'd like to share and grow.
And I'm sure this is obvious to all of us that work in schools, but the first piece would be around ensuring the safety of both the mentor and the mentee and that supervision of the conversations that are happening online, which I know is a big piece of any of the cyber mentoring or online mentoring that's currently taking place.
Great. Now, Shannon has a question. She said she would love to run this with their leadership class. We meet in the X block, which is at 7:30 once a week. Any idea for how this could work if we only meet once a week?
Over to you, Latoya.
It would work quite well. If they have time, it could be something that they would do after school, or if they have time in their flex blocks there. Meeting once a week would do it. Minus the initial training, because you do need some time for that training piece. But meeting once a week would give you time to go over your weekly theme and kind of the reflection and moving forward and what you're going to do for that week. So it would be quite enough time to have that face-to-face with your mentor. They would then have to find time to meet with their mentee throughout the remainder of
it. Great. Thank you, Latoya. And now Ken has a question. He's just asking, what other CTS courses might tie in with the mentoring set of CTS courses?
The leadership ones stand out the most, and so do the project ones. There's some there with projects. So if you were to do the program and develop the program with students, which was something, an idea we had tossed around when I was still in the classroom, it would actually fall under some of those project credits that are available.
Great. And then Latoya, a question for you again from Shelley. Did Latoya's program run all year?
It did. It depended on what year. So 1 year we did it per semester. So we had what first semester, second semester, different mentors and mentees in each. And then 1 year we did run it all year long. And that's when I added in different credits, because kids were meeting outcomes and other credits, such as the leadership, such as the project-based one. The year-long one, it was really good, and they got to do a little more activities because they met, you know, the spring, the fall, the winter. But even in a semester, that short period of time, it worked just as well.
And then this would be a good follow-up question from Tara. She asked, do you find that teachers find that 3 days a week is too much time out of the classroom? How long is each mentorship time?
It depended on the teacher. Some teachers found it was too much. So what we did, when the teachers did find that it was too much, and this happened at the beginning, before we really got a sense of what it was and the benefits from it, we put in once a week where the mentor would help them with their academics. But I made it very clear at the beginning, they were not an educational assistant and they were not a tutor. So as we progressed, teachers stopped with that idea. They really seen the benefit, and that 3 days a week was not a lot because they were seeing a huge benefit in the classroom on their part, especially with students that we have that were, for lack of a better word, behavior students. It was helping them so much in the classroom that the teachers didn't mind it. But to curve that complaint, we did have once a week where some of the mentees and mentors would do some academic work together, but we did limit that because it could easily have turned into a tutoring session.
Great, very well said. Now we have another question from Nicole. She asks, can any of the mentorship courses be used in the high school certificate requirements in the 30-level CTS course?
The additional 10 out of 30-level credit, they can be there, yeah.
And now Jody asks, Latoya, do you run your program during a semester or full year?
We've done both. So we've done this semester, and right now I'm no longer in that high school, but right now I know the principal of that high school is running it semester, but we have done both.
And we have a few more questions here, so we'll just get through about four more, and then I think if anyone has any further questions, you can see our contact information on the slides there, which is Caroline, and or you can email the Alberta Mentoring Partnership at mentor.support@albertamentors.ca. But now we have a question from Katie, who asked, at our K-12 school, we've done some informal mentoring in the past. We struggled with it when our mentors were absent. This was a frustration for those students and the elementary teachers who plan around the mentees being with their mentor. What strategy did you use to avoid these?
Well, one thing, when it's for credit, it does look a little different. I found that the mentors treated it as a course, the same as if they were showing up for Bio 30. We also did, at first, when picking or shortlisting our mentors, we picked people that we knew that were attending regularly. I also had kind of like an interview process. We didn't want the classes to get too big, and we did have kind of an interview where you had to come in and we had to speak about what this program was, that it was a course, you were getting credit. And the number one expectation was that you're there. And if you're not there, we put in a policy where you had to tell your mentor at least a week in advance and the teacher, unless you were sick. And then sick, I would get an email in the morning and I would call the principal of that school and let them know. Once we started to treat that very severely and seriously, we put a lot of emphasis on that. I found that it didn't become that much of an issue because the mentor wanted it to be there for their mentee. The startup was a little rough, and that's how we got around it, but then they wanted to be there for their mentees, so they showed up to school.
That's really well said and very important. So the next question we have is, are the HSS mentorship courses prerequisites for the next?
I can answer this a little bit, and then Latoya, you can jump in too. I think that they were originally sort of designed that way, but I know that certainly Latoya and other teachers have done the intro to mentorship and the training piece first, and then sort of done a hybrid and combined the other four and kind of met the objective. Not necessarily in sequential order. So Latoya, I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Sure. The intro to mentorship was really the one that you'll see that pops up as kind of a prerequisite for the others. But because it's something that was ongoing, we did do the bulk of it. You complete most of it through the training, the intro to mentorship, but then that reflection, you can always come back to it. So we did them all together and they fit well in that you can go through it. And one assignment you'll see on that, that chart that I provided, one assignment really fits with three or four different of those credits. So you don't really do them in isolation. So when you're putting them into Power School, they're just all there at the same time. And then when you submit them in to Alberta Ed, they all go in quite well.
Great. Now, Jennifer asks, you mentioned an online course for HSS 1050. Did I hear that it was being updated? Is the current online course available?
Yes, it is. So that's the online mentor training that we were talking about. So it is currently available through the AMP website, and it's offered at no cost for students. It is being updated, but the existing training will be there until the new training is ready to be uploaded, and then they'll just be a seamless switch from one to the next.
And if anyone wants to learn more about that, you can either go to our website at Alberta Mentors and find it, or go directly to the training site at moodle.albertamentors.com. Next question is, Tara, what time of the day, what courses were the students pulled from?
That all depended on the teacher and the semester that it was. It varied. I know one was math, one year was English. We did, but part of the mentoring program we developed had literacy in there, so it fit really well. One was health class, but there was physical activity that we implemented into the program. It was quite easy that if they were missing something in the classroom to make that up. It depended.
And then now for our final question from Jody. She asked, can you please let us know what happens when students complete all 5 CTS courses?
Well, I can comment on, there is a certificate that's available that the students get upon completion. And Latoya, I think that you might have been one of the first people to have your kids go through and complete all 5. So maybe you want to talk a little bit about that. I think they got the t-shirts they were wearing in the photo.
Yes, they did. They did get their certificate and they were quite excited, and we laminated and put them up. They may still be into the program binder. And they did get their t-shirt. It was also something that when we looked at in some of those outcomes, you'll see the career long or lifelong learning piece. And we talked about, that goes on your resume now. And that's something that you can offer as, you volunteered some of your time, because they did extra. We put volunteer hours in there also as part of the program. It was great for them to have done that, and it got them a certificate, but it got them some life experience also behind them in grade 11. So it was great.
Okay, seeing no more questions, I think we will wrap this webinar up, and thank you to everybody for joining in. Thank you very much to Latoya for giving up her lunch hour to provide us with information and be so generous with your handouts and the resources that you created. Again, I encourage everybody to check out the Alberta Mentoring Partnership and the resources that we have there. And if you have any further questions or comments, please feel free to either contact myself or the Alberta Mentoring Partnership. And if we're not able to answer your questions, we will be able to find somebody who can. So thanks again, and we look forward to seeing you online at our upcoming webinars. Thank you.